chapter 8, they gather everybody into the streets, and they're like, okay, now we've built some walls, we got things together, it's time to build people. So listen, MCBC, everybody at home, listen to this. It's time to invest in people. It's time to invest in people. Did you know people are still lost? You know, we live in, like, they call this postmodern Christianity. There's a lot of people that don't even go to church. They didn't grow up in church like we did. And this is a great opportunity for us to take good news to them. People need saved, and then people need to grow. So it's our job. So I like Nehemiah chapter 8. We've already covered the beginning of this, where basically, remember they read the word? The people, it said they gathered themselves together in verse 1, and then before the water gate, Ezra stood up and the people called out, bring the book. I love that. That should be the cry of the people. That should be the call of you. Everybody in our church should have said, what? Yeah, bring the book. That's what we're going to do. Bring the book. You know, that's what we're going to do. New Year's, bring the book, man. Let's just read the book. And so he brought the law, it says in verse 2. And it says both men and women, they comprehended it, right? And it says they put it, it was on their calendar. It was the first day of the seventh month. They communicated it and they continued. So check this out. They read the word. We need to read the word. Second of all, starting in verse 4, I just like that there was a reverence for the word. We've already covered this in review. There was the pulpit, a pulpit of wood, right, for the preacher. There were partners in preaching. It says, and beside him stood, and it listed all these people, because preaching's a team sport. Ministry's a team sport. Hey, Jesus Christ came to planet Earth, and you know what he did? He proved this to us. Because he has a voice so big, he could have thundered, the whole world could have heard. He could have easily done that. But you know what he chose to do? To set an example. He chose 12. That's how he started. He chose 12. He discipled them. Now, he would preach to multitudes of people, thousands, but he invested in 12. That's the majority of time you see him spending. And by the way, Luke chapter 2, they added 70 more. Then Acts 1, you can see there was a chunk of them. Just men, 120, besides women and children. And what they did, he said, now you multiply. He set up the whole principle of discipleship. That's exactly what he said. So I love this where, you know, Ezra had men beside him. He had people beside him doing the work. So there was partners in the preaching. And, you know, when you speak, I pray. When I preach, you pray. We all get it. We do this together, right? And then it says the precept was they opened the book, and then the position of the preacher was above the people. And then you know what the people did? At the end of this, man, they stood to their feet. It's just a beautiful passage. They stood to their feet. So we covered all of that already. Talking about the pulpit and the speech, the very posture of the people, that was very beautiful. And so what we're going to do, what I would like to do, is I would like to complete this chapter today. I want to start off with verse 6. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 6, it says this. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And honestly, that is why we exist. This morning, it's my responsibility to bless the Lord. He is great. It's my responsibility to make his name great. It's not my responsibility to please a group of people. Now, if pleasing a group of people pleases the Lord, then that's part of my responsibility. But I just love this. It says in verse 6 that Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and the people answered amen and amen with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So as they're worshiping the Lord, because the word's being read, they put their faces to the ground. Then if you get to verse 9, excuse me, it says, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. So now we see the people are in a mourning state. They're weeping, they're crying. And we know the reason why is they heard the words of the Lord. It's moving them. Do you remember when you got saved? Somebody preached the word. I remember in 1985, June, I'm in a church camp. I'm in the back row. There's 120 students there, and the word was preached, and it got my attention. I found myself very weepy as a young man. And when the preacher at the end said, man, if you want to receive Christ, come forward, and we'll show you how you can be a Christian. And I could not stay seated. I had to stand. And that's when you know, if you're going to get right with the Lord, you know, you got to sit in the front row. It's just not as far as a journey, you know. I think God knew this thick-headed boy needed the long walk in front of everybody else. You know, and here I was, fun and popular and all that type of stuff. Played football, and everybody knew me. And then I stood up, and they're like, man, what's that dude crying for? I'll tell you why. The Word of God. It was preached, and it broke me down. And I began to weep. And I began to cry. Look, it says in verse 10, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord our God. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Neither be ye sorry. Notice we see in verse 10, we see more of this mourning and weeping. He says, don't be sorry, because they were sorry. Guys, here's why they were sorry. When the word's preached, it's the perfect law. You look into that mirror, when you don't line up, conviction breaks you down. When your insides are being squeezed, sometimes what happens? And people cry. I've had grown men tell me, man, I'm sorry for crying. What are you sorry for crying for? God's squeezing your heart, and that's the juice that's coming out, man. That's the emotion. That's a great thing. He even says in verse 11, so the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And they're grieving. You know why they're grieving? They got the temple in place and the walls are up, but you know, the people are few. The buildings and houses are not there yet. And they're thinking, you ever said to yourself, how did I get here? We're not quite where we need to be. So conviction's a good thing, but remember, conviction is just for the purpose of getting you right. It's like disciplining your children. The point of disciplining your children is not just to put them into pain or make them sorry for what they've done. It's to get them on the right path. It's a positive spin on this. So when you feel conviction from God, that's a wonderful thing. Sometimes when I hurt myself, and I got a saying I use at home to the girls, I'll be like, man, Dad, are you okay? I'm like, man, I know I'm alive, man. I'm alive, man. That's how you know you're alive, when you're not feeling, smash your finger, you know, get a cot, well, at least I'm alive, you know, right? So there's sadness, there's depression, there's conviction. Now, I want to make a simple application here, because coming out of 2021, they say depression is more rampant than ever before. I heard suicide stats of young people yesterday again, and it has risen. Not attempts, but thoughts of suicide has hit 25% in teens, one-fourth has thought. Not that they acted upon it, some did. Some even made some attempts, but people that have just crossed their mind. One-fourth. Phew. It's unacceptable when we carry the good news. It's unacceptable for that to happen. And so because of last year's depression, you know what? I want to show you five things in this chapter that because of depression, not being where they need to be squared with God's word, five things that will depression, it'll leave you. Five things that a lot of people in 2021, this is where it left the church. And so the first thing I'd like you to see is in verse 10. After he dealt with this in their mourning, he just says this. Then he said unto them, I mean, after they heard the words of the law, these people are mourning and weeping, he said, go your way. I think this is important in the Bible. He says, go your way. They're mourning. They're crying. So listen, the first thing, the depression that 2021 has left the church, it left them frozen. Frozen. Motionless. We don't know what to do and how to move, so we will not move at all. The church sat still. They didn't move. Now, we were forced in our homes at some point, but then even if that, people chose to stay motionless. And this is why the men of God had to say, hey, go your way. It's time to get up and go. That word go is a famous word in the Bible. Our God's name starts with those two letters. The good news of the gospel starts with those letters. Go. G-O. Christian, you know, at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, it says the Spirit of God did what? Upon the face of the waters? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Remember that. The Spirit of God is always on the move. Christians should always be on the move. Always. We should follow God. Where we see him, we join him. We are just like surfers, you know. We're always looking for the wave and then ride it for everything it's worth. Because you know what? Every day there's not waves. Some days you miss the wave. I've talked to men that have said that about their whole life. I remember as a young man, God called me, man. I was called to do something great for him, and I didn't move. And I missed my opportunity. Depression leaves people frozen. And unfortunately, being depressed in 2021 has left the church where it's motionless. You know, Jesus Christ, when he walked up to, in Matthew chapter 4, he called his first disciples. He said, hey guys, follow me. And the Bible says they didn't just follow him, they left their nets. Do you see? A repentance, a change, comes when the Lord says, follow me, but you've always got to leave something behind. They left their fishing nets. We need to leave our safety nets. We need to leave our comfort nets. Guys, habits are weird. We develop these habits, and some of us don't even like them, but it becomes like a nest. And you make it home. Like this is where I'm comfortable, and yet you don't like it, but you like it. And that's when we form these things in our life, and it's unfortunate. You know what it requires? To follow the Lord's going to require leaving something. And I think that's some of the problem. We don't want to leave anything and follow the Lord. We want both. I want everything, right? I want the good from the world, and I also want to live heavenly, you know? I want both. Well, it don't come that way most of the time. And so Jesus says, follow me, and we got to drop the safety, right? In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, you know what he said to his disciples? He's getting ready to leave planet Earth, and you know what he tells them? He says, okay. He said, I want you to stay still until my spirit comes. Because when my spirit comes, remember, he moves upon the face of the waters. So they're sitting still. When God's spirit comes down, Jesus says, here's what you're going to do. Go ye therefore into all the world. Go ye therefore into all the world. You know what's crazy is we just like our comfort. What's always funny as a church is there's these things that happen all the time, and it just naturally happens that I'll just give you an example, and this is probably going to cause somebody to leave our church, but that's okay. Somebody would text and just say, hey man, it's foggy outside. And it was on New Year's Eve. It was foggy outside at some point. And so you have people say, hey man, I'm coming, this and that, or hey, I got to go pick up groceries in Galesburg. People were saying this all that. And then all of a sudden, right in behind that, another text came and just said, hey man, somebody needs to fill my spot. It's foggy outside. Dude, what's foggy is you. In your mind, do you not see straight? What do you mean it's foggy? Everybody else was on the move. That was strange to me. But you know what happens? 2021 has got us in this little groove. It's not okay to sit still. It's not okay to be motionless. Guys, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we are supposed to make disciples. Make disciples means we take the Bible. People are accountable for it. You're accountable for God's word, and that means you're responsible. We need to produce responsible Christians. And even our church, and I will tell you, sometimes you don't miss a beat because some of the very people that left weren't carrying any weight. I miss their face. I miss them being here, but the reality is it was good for me to see empty seats because God reminded me again to make disciples and say, quit being motionless, man. Move and make disciples. I think that's the message. One of the messages today for us is out of 2021 is I think sometimes the culture, the COVID, all of that stuff has left the church where everybody's sitting still like, what next? You're waiting for something to happen to you? You know, have you never been in a fight before? You know, usually the guy that draws first blood usually gets it, man. The guy that makes the first crack usually wins the fight. And so, you know, the principle is, you know, you tell your kids, you don't hit nobody, but if somebody starts up with you and hits you, then, you know, you can get after it, and, you know, you won't get in trouble if I finish it back. And I'm here to tell you, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we're acting that way. And you know what happens? Three or four hits in the face later, you're beat up, sitting down, what's the problem? Let me tell you what the problem is. You're taking punches. Church, we're going to start giving punches. I'm talking about the word. I'm not talking about physically. It's left us frozen, but Jesus said to Matthew, guys, it's time to go. It's time to be on the move and follow the Spirit of God. Now, you know I'm all about a quiet time. I'm all about waiting on the Lord. I'm all about meeting with Him in a quiet place, all of that stuff. But that's just the fueling station. So that now you have the fuel to get up and get after it, right, and to do it. So he says that very clearly in Acts 1:8. You're going to be witnesses. When I come into you, you're going to be witnesses. You're always going to be on the move. Church, we got to be on the move. So 2021, we're entering 2022. That our thought process, our hearts, we hurt a lot of trouble. The enemy's done it. And guys, here's what's crazy about this. It's worldwide. This ain't even just our little area or our county. Oh, man. People are telling me all the time. I'll talk to a pastor in Missouri, and he's like, man, the numbers are really up here. And I'm like, dude, they're up almost everywhere. Now, there's places around the world where the numbers are not up. And people are like, well, what are they doing? Well, places in Africa, back when, I mean, they had all kinds of fevers and crazy. There are places where these people have been medically treated, and it's not affecting them as bad. But for the most part, this virus is worldwide. And here's what cracks me up about it. We know the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The virus don't stop him. All through the Gospels, there was no sickness or disease. Death couldn't stop him. He brought people back to life. Is he not in charge? Do we not know, as we read Revelation the other night, we can see the system that's going to be put together, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the beast. They're going to put a governmental system, a worldwide system. So right now, we're all on this worldwide stage. Everybody's on that stage. And so I have to believe when I read the Bible that God is up to something. God knows what's going on. What are we afraid of? And everybody's just like, I just can't wait to get back to normal. Normal is gone. And I don't know what, I'm not saying I'm not a doom and gloom guy. I don't know, it's probably going to get better and we'll figure things just like we always do. The point is this, the Church of Jesus Christ should be so sad and depressed. Now we hear God's word, and I hope God's word convicts you today. You just said, man, I've been sitting too much. I've been motionless, or the F word is frozen. It has left me frozen. Well, not anymore. God's busy, man. God's on the move. I believe it, and I'm joining him. That's what I'm going to join him in spite of all this stuff. You know what it says next there? Look at verse 10. He says, go your way. And then he says what? Number two, eat the fat. Something that 2021 we've allowed to do to us, I believe this, not only left us frozen, it left us feeble. Very feeble. I think our feeding has been very poorly. It's been poor. Now, when he says eat the fat here, I want you to know that, you know, every farmer I've known, you know, when it comes market time, you're going to get more money. So what do they say? Fatten the cows. Fatten them up, man. And I don't know about you, but I've had lean cow before. You know, hey, this is double the money, but it's grass fed. Have you ever ate that stuff? I'm just like, something ain't right with it. You know why? Ain't no fat in that, man. That's why. You ever eat a venison burger? I'm like, holy night. We need to do something different with this. You know, I like meat. Something's wrong with this. He says, eat the fat. And I think just like in Genesis 48, where they were, God told them, I'm going to give you the goods in Egypt. This is Genesis 48:18. And you know what he says? I want you to eat of the fat of the land. It's a saying used in the Bible. It don't always mean fat like that's hanging on the front of my belly. It's not necessarily talking about that, even though it can. He says, but I'm going to go and I'm going to let you eat the fat of the land. You know what he's saying? I'm going to give you the best of the land. The best. You know what we've done in 2021? We've settled for the least. We just said, well, this is just the way it is. And I knew coming to church today, God was going to make me eat this because I knew the crowd was going to be low. Well, just because of the weather. A lot of people are sick too right now. And God's just like, well, then I'll just test you, pal. We'll see how fired up you get about all this. And see if you really are going to honor me and honor my word. I tell you, it's not only left people frozen, it's left them feeble. And that's why he had to say, guys, you need to eat the fat. Eat the best that God has to offer. I want you to know that God has so much to offer you, and we're just settling for halfway. We're just settling for halfway. Fat cattle are well fed. We need to be well fed. We haven't been eating like we should be eating, right? Even when they, in 1 Chronicles 4, when they were looking for pasture, it says they were looking for fat pasture. Yeah, stuff that's healthy, that they can eat off of, man. They're not eating in the desert. And that's what we've done. We've created this desert land where we're sitting still. And that's why, you know, animals, they call it grazing. Animals will clear an area, and you know what they do? I mean, instinct tells them, move, move, move. Go, there's more over here. You know, you'll watch goats clear a whole yard, and they're like, okay, fence this up, put them in the next one. Right, so this one can regrow, and they can go there, right? And so it's left a lot of people feeble. They're feeding very poorly. We're not choosing to live off the fat of the Bible. Or I like the word best. Let me show you a few verses. Hold your finger here in Nehemiah chapter 8. We'll put them little ribbons down in there. Let's go over to Psalms 92. Everybody go to Psalms chapter 92. Psalms chapter 92 and verse 12. Psalms 92, 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. The righteous plant like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Do you see that? Righteous people should be fat and flourish. When I went to the Philippines, it was always a funny thing because here, you know, when you want to be a macho man, you want to look like you got muscles, you know. And that's what you do. You slim yourself down, pop up your chest a little bit, you know. And you just want people to think, you know, people come by and we do the Chris Farley. Hey, can you tell me where the gym's at? You know. And in the Philippines, though, people were so poor that being very successful there usually was a fat man. People knew that he's eating good. That dude's healthy. And ladies would say, he can take care of me. And so it's so funny. Like, I would sit and try to lift up, you know, look strong and big. These dudes, like, they would stick out their bellies, man. They'd be, like, on the side of the road. I'm like, what's he doing? He's after the ladies, you know. And here, you know, everybody's like, man, that dude's gross, isn't he? Well, it depends on your perspective, you know. And so they're like, no, we think he looks pretty good. Have you ever looked through women through history? We talked about this the other day, a couple of us. You know, what women and the standards of a gorgeous woman was. And there was a time like the Greeks, you know, you'd look at these statues, you're like, why are they putting a statue of a fat lady out there? She's a fat lady with one arm. That's weird, isn't it? They're just like, no, she's healthy. She can bear children. You know, just the size. And then through history, it changed. And all of a sudden, you know, it got to a point where I don't even know what it is now, but you know, you have some lady there, and here she is, now she's gone. Here she is, now she's gone. And everybody's like, that's sexy, isn't it? I'm like, sexy? That's not fat at all. We got to the point in our culture where we even used the word fat. We just spelled it P-H-A-T. And what we would say is, that's the best. That's awesome. That's fat, man. That song's fat. Now we're kind of using the word fire a little bit. We're like, that's fire, isn't it? Well, no, it used to be that car. That's a fat car, man. And my buddy, Jay, was pulled in the gas station in Monmouth. Couple guys pulled up and he got this new Sentra and it had a little spoiler on the back. It was just a little different. These guys walked up and says, man, that car is fat. He got to my house and asked me. He said, do you think this car looks fat? He was dead serious. We got to the back and I said, well, it's kind of got a fat back end. I don't know what. And he said, well, these guys said my car looks fat. And I said, they were telling you your car looks amazing. It looks awesome. And so, you know what he tells me? He says, not only go your way, church, eat the fat. God has better for you. Don't eat poorly. There was a man that saved all of his retirement money up. He's always wanted to go on a cruise. And so he saved it all up. He paid his money to the travel agency, and he lines up, gets there, boards this boat. And he had two big bags with him. One had some clothing in it, but the other one had peanut butter sandwiches. And so for the first 2 or 3 days on this cruise, he'd go back to his room, and he had no money. He had no money, and so what he kept doing was going back to his room and meals and eating just these sandwiches and things that he could pack that would last him for the week. And it was halfway through the week that somebody, he met somebody on the boat, and they're just like, man, why don't you join us for dinner tonight? He goes, man, guys, I can't afford it. And they're like, well, let us clue you in. When you paid a price to go on this ship, it's all-inclusive. The dude's been eating peanut butter sandwiches. When there was a ribeye, chicken, taco buffet, man. It was all loaded up every night, as much as you want, and the restaurant never shut down. Little did he know it. Just reminds me of Christians. You know, we're feeble. We're feeding poorly when the buffet is open. It's there for us, for you and me. We need to get after it. People that want it, get it, man. Get it. So remember, depression, this conviction, leaves them frozen. It left the church frozen. Number two, it can leave people feeble, because you tend to believe the news and the press, and everybody you go, neighbors are talking, people, you know, it's just a rough time to navigate through. And so we've been feeding poorly. That's what we've been doing. By the way, do you guys know, I'll just tell you the story. You know the story of the prodigal son, Luke 15, guy wanders away? Everybody knows that story, right? He goes and gets all drunk and doped up, and next thing you know, he's sitting with the pigs. Next thing you know, he's like, my gosh, he stinks, he's rotten. He's like, I'm going to go home, because at least I can be a servant there. Wasted all of his inheritance money. This dude, that we call him the prodigal son, he starts heading back home. And you know one of the first things his dad says? He looks at his son, who's dirty, and says, we need to clean this boy up. But he said this, I want you to, they wanted to kill the fatted calf, the best calf, the one they've been fattening. But he says, I love this one, because I never got this before until studying this word. I want you to get the best robe. His clothes are so torn and tattered. I want you to find the best robe. Gang, I just feel like many of us are walking around and moping around. You know how when people get depressed, sometimes you can tell by the way a person looks on the outside how they're feeling on the inside? It's true, right? You get in their car is filthy. They don't care how they look. They quit taking care of themselves. You know how it is. And some of you ladies would know, they call it postpartum depression. You get to the spot where you can't sleep enough. Your child's always wanting it's rough. It's just a rough time because you're off schedule. Your child's keeping your schedule. And it gets to the point, and I've heard this from many, many ladies that had birthed a baby. They just say, I feel like I don't even have time to rest. I don't have time sometimes to take a shower. Well, you know what? You can sense a little depression there. And I feel like Christians are this way. You're walking around and you're in the same pajamas for 3 days now. You know, people are looking at you that come in. You know, you're not attractive at all. Your other kids are like, what is wrong with mom? It's a real thing for sure. You know what needs to happen? Get a shower, man. Clean yourself up. Put on some good clothes. It's a curse sometimes with being at home as a mom, because you don't feel that energy. Like, you don't, well, I don't need to. No, you need to. You definitely need to. Put on the best robe. You know why? Because you wear it well. And I think as Christians, you know what we need to do? We need to put on the best, man. That's what we need to do. We need to eat the fat. Eat the best of the land that God has to offer. You know? One person has left our church here recently, and the reason they left was no big real problem. I just feel like I'm not growing anymore. Well, guess what? The best that we have to offer this particular person, you know, it's sad to say when you have to tell somebody this, I already thought you left. You haven't been here. See, you wasn't after the best that God had to offer. We even had classes. There was a class that we had. I remember this a couple years ago. And I was like, hey, you guys really should go to this. It would be good for you. And they said, no. They didn't want to make the time for that. And, well, it's okay. But God has the best for you. I just thought you'd... What about John 10 when Jesus says, I came to give you life. And then he follows up and guess what? I came to give you life more abundantly. What about the abundant Christian life? You know, it's funny, when you live the abundant Christian life, people say, you're a freako. That dude is whacked. It's like that's your life. Yeah, exactly. It leaves you frozen here. It left him feeble, and that's why he had to say, go your way. Go. Eat the fat. Guys, eat the best that God has to offer you in 2022. The next thing he says here in verse 10, I better get back there. I guess I don't need to get back there. I know what it says, but I don't feel right about it. The next thing he says in verse 10 is, go your way, eat the fat, and then he says what? Drink the sweet. I think the third thing, he has to tell them, drink the sweet, because years have went by where they've not ate the fat and drunk the sweet. So here they are, a little depressed, everything's built, but he's like, we're going to build people now. So what happens is this depression, this conviction, what it's bringing you to is, if you say drink the sweet, I'm trying to use F words so that it'll stick, you know, it'll freeze you, right? Makes you feeble. Here's the third one, drink the sweet. It leaves you flavorless. There's no spice. Nobody ever grabs the first cup of coffee and says, this is incredible. I say coffee, but let me be real. Very few people grab a beer for the first time and go, this is incredible. You know, smoking a cigarette. Isn't this great? No, because all those things I just listed are nasty. They taste nasty. Now, you can acquire taste and keep working, and eventually it'll be good. I knew a guy that had his kids, and he said, I don't want my kids to eat sugary cereal. Well, that ain't a bad thing. But so you know what he did from when they were little? That's all he did is he just feed them no sugar cereal, no sugar added, and they grew up that way. So these kids get a bowl of oatmeal with nothing and just tear it up and thought it was great. And I was like, wow, they've trained themselves to be that way. I'm just like, but just wait till they spend the night at my house. You know, the other day, I forget what we were eating at home, and I was just like, oh, it was tomato soup and grilled cheese. One of the favorites amongst our girls. I don't know why. It's not my thing. You know why? No meat. That's why. But I eat. I was like, man, this tastes a little, you know, tomatoes are bitter. So you get tomato soup. You know why I love tomato soup at my grandma's house? Because everything she cooked on the stove, there was a sugar bowl in the middle. She just reached her fingers and I never measured anything. Oh my gosh. I've seen her do it to hamburger. We'd be eating fried eggs and bacon. I'm like, Grandma, this is like amazing. You know, I mean, she taught some things to some people, man. You know what that is? Drink the sweet. You know, and if you're not used to tea without sugar, it's rough, man. When you first drink it, you're like, man, I think I'll take sugar. And that, by the way, that container at McDonald's, the sweet tea container that's like this tall and it's metal, 1 pound. They cut that thing one of sugar. In that whole thing. Yeah, you know, you've created crack cocaine in there. People love it, right? And that's what people go after. I guess I want to say in 2022, and just like Nehemiah 8 and these people are doing, I think he says, man, hey, drink the sweet. Our Christianity, our walk with Jesus lacks a little flavor. The spice is gone. When I say spice, I don't even necessarily mean hot. You know, some people think, oh, I like my stuff spicy. Well, some people like it so hot that you can't taste anything. But to eat some bland piece of chicken with nothing on it, the Bible actually talks about salt. Jesus says, you know, you should be light and you should be the salt of the world. But you know what? The salt is kind of useless when it's lost its savor. If the salt ain't doing what it's supposed to make flavors pop, that's what spices do. They make food dance on your tongue. And a lot of people that go for bland food, I think our Christianity has become bland. And I think that's why he's telling these guys to make sure you drink the sweet. Psalm says this a lot. If you want to take your Bibles and go to Psalms 119, 103. Psalms 119, 103. Psalms 119, verse 103. Psalms 119, 103 says this, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Of course, the Bible uses honey. That was the sugar back in the day. So think about that, you know. Just some people, the way it works is if you're, it's no different, but a non-Christian, when the meal ends, they crave a cigarette, right? That's the home I grew up in. Everybody craved a cigarette after a meal. But then once you become a Christian, it's the same frenzy that you have, but when dinner ends, everybody creates something sugary. They want something sweet. I like this, where it says, how sweet are thy words? Just like honey, man. It tastes so good. It's so sweet. There's a verse in Proverbs 27:7, and it says, if you're a hungry soul, every bitter thing will seem sweet. Isn't that interesting? Because some of you have learned to sip coffee with nothing in it. It's kind of bitter. But you've adjusted your palate and you enjoy it. You enjoy it that way. And some people, I started off cream and sugar, just like everybody else does. Then I pulled the sugar away and just had cream. My father still drinks it that way. And then I really became a man, and I pulled the cream out, you know. And now I'm good. Matter of fact, if it's too sweet, it hurts my teeth a little bit or something. But I like Proverbs 27 because it says, when a soul is hungry, every bitter thing is sweet. You know what that tells me? I've had messages where I thought, this is not a very good message. And I've had people come up to me, tears in their eyes, and says, that so spoke to my heart. And I thought, they're hungry. They're hungry for the things of God. Because I know darn well that wasn't a great meal. But we're eating, right? Half the world ain't getting meals like that. So when he says, drink the sweet, I think this sweet is leaning towards the flavor. That's your F word, is flavor. And so 2021 has left us where we're frozen, we're feeble, we're not eating the best that God has to offer. Then he says, drink the sweet. We've got to the point where our lives have become so bland, just bland. He says, go drink the sweet, man. Have at it, right? And then if you keep reading, it says in verse 10, drink the sweet and then send portions unto them, for with nothing is prepared. When people don't have this, you give them this, right? The best of what you have. I love when people come to our house, even if it's unannounced, and we get to or eat and say, man, why don't you join us? Have you eaten anything yet? I love when they just love it, especially if I was involved in the cooking. Because my wife cooks good, but pull something off the grill or the smoker, be like, man, this is very, it just makes you feel really good, you know. And church, let's get back to that this year in 2022, where people have nothing prepared. We are a prepared people, and we'll prepare for them. And the greatest sin that I could ever commit as a pastor is boring people with the Bible. I hope to not bore anybody with the Bible in 2022. I want them to come in and say, my gosh, this is, I'm eating the fat. I'm drinking the sweet, man. This is doing something for me. And then it motivates them to not stay in their little spot, but go out, not be frozen, right? The next thing you know, he says at the end of this, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord. Now listen, I know what joy means. I don't want to dumb it down. And I feel like I'm kind of dumbing it down just to find an F word that goes with joy. But I think you'll get my point, especially when we read a few scriptures. Because what we've done is 2021, we've allowed it to kill our joy. It's been a kill joy. And what we are responsible as believers to live in the joy of the Lord. Notice he says, be not sorry. The opposite of joy. Sorrow and joy. 2021 has left us more sorrowful than joyful. Shame, shame. He knows our name. He's calling us this morning on the carpet on this one. So, basically, you know what it's done? It leaves us frozen, depression, not where we should be with God. It leaves us feeble, we're feeding poorly, leaves us flavorless, no spice in our life, right? And then this one here, it leaves us with no fun. Joy is different than fun, but you know, joy includes fun. I wrote down enjoyment here. And now listen, here's the key. And can some people say, you know what brings me joy? I like to fish. Well, you just can't fish all the time. Why? Because you got things to do. You got responsibilities, right? All of us have maybe habits or things that we enjoy. But here the key is, it's the joy, not of your choice. It's the joy of the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord. It's living in that sweet spot of fellowship with Him. What pleases Him is a joy to me. And honestly, that's why people, a lot of times, they won't attend things or they won't come, because you know what? It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. Wow. Well, you need to get a hold of the joy of the Lord. There's a difference there. What's joy to you is not always a joy to Him. You know, sin for us is pleasurable, and we know what the Lord thinks about it, right? And what you can do is you can be trained, and you can find joy, and your joy can and should be in the Lord. True? It's true. I don't need you to tell me that. It's true. You know, first of all, I'm going to give you three things on joy. And first of all, our joy needs to be in the Lord. Joy is in Christ, right? Our joy should be in Christ. And let me give this to you. You'll say, oh, I know that, I know that, I know that. The angels fill the sky. The angel comes down to the shepherds. And what do they say? Good tidings of great joy. These guys are out here in the middle of the night watching sheep. You know, what a life. And all of a sudden the angels came and said, I'm bringing you good tidings of what? Great joy. I mean, the heavenly hosts fill the sky and they start speaking, right? The angels to the shepherds. Joy. Why? Because the bundle of joy just came to planet Earth. The light of the world, the creator of the universe, put on this baby package, man, and came to planet Earth. In Hebrews 12:2, Jesus has grown up, and now he's going to the cross, taking the sins of the world, and the Bible says, and the joy that was set before him was the very reason he could endure the cross. He could endure the difficulty because there was a joy set before him. So Maple City Baptist Church, you got to set joy before you. We keep setting sorrow before us. Get off of CNN and Fox News. Quit putting that stuff before you. If you wake up first thing in the morning and grab your phone, some people just want to scroll the news or look at your phone or see what notifications you have. Well, let me tell you what that is. It's just not setting the joy before you. The best thing you could do is the joy of the Lord. Drink the sweet. Eat the fat. And then once you get this, then you can navigate the news. There's nothing wrong with being to be notified, to know what's going on. Matter of fact, there's wisdom in that. You don't want to be clueless about the world. But the Lord has the end of the story. So our joy is in Christ. So set the joy before you. And then in Matthew 28, Jesus died and he resurrected. He resurrected. They went to the sepulcher and they said, they looked in and he wasn't there. The angel's just like, hey, why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? He's alive. And it says they left. It says they ran. Now, they ran. It says they had fear, because that is crazy. Fear and great joy. And he said he was coming back to life. It's true. Their faith became sight, right? So just to let you know, the joy is in Christ. So have a joy in Christ. Listen, when your life stinks, you better understand the joy of the Lord, or you're going to be divorced. You'll be separated. You'll be jobless. You'll be drinking. You'll be doing dope. Anything you can to bring some sort of fun or joy in your life, you'll do it. That's what everybody does. Some people find joy in work. They drown themselves out in work. And they're like, well, that's a good moral thing to find pleasure and joy in, isn't it? It is. It's just not the right thing. The joy is in Christ. Next, if the joy is in Christ, then meeting Christ would bring us joy. So there's joy in salvation, right? The Bible says heaven rejoices. There's joy in heavens over one sinner that repents, right? So we should be living in the joy of the Lord. And so one thing heaven joys is when people get saved. So if we would spend our time making sure people would get good news and people would get saved, we would find joy in our hearts. And COVID would seem this big instead of letting the world and the media make it this big. And after you preach a message like this and say things about COVID, there's always people that come to me and just say, you know, you act like this ain't very, very serious. Guys, I just did my first funeral of a COVID death. It's dead serious. There's just something bigger than COVID. It's like, remember our vision conference? There's a giant that's after me. And he's constantly trying to speak and leave me in fear. I like what David did. David's just like, what in the world? And so David went after it, man. I like when it says that David ran towards this monster. He ran towards this giant. That's what we need to do. We are Christians. That's what we are. To live as Christ is to die as gain. I'm not careless. I walk into a place, they say, put on your mask. Hey, I had the COVID. Please don't take it that I'm saying, it's my job to magnify the Lord. Everybody else magnifies COVID. It's not that big. The death rate is very low. Why do we allow it to keep feeding us? We're like, aah! My God is bigger. My God can squelch that. That's exactly, he had over disease, over demons, over death. Jesus controlled all of it. That's to let me know that, you know what? God is in control and has allowed this on our planet. And you've watched Christians. Has that not proven who we really are? We are a frozen group of people. We're a feeble group of people. We're flavorless, man. And guess what? It has sucked the fun right out of being a believer. We're the only people in the world that can rejoice in suffering. What a weird group of people. You know why? Because my joy is in the Lord. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. The man that wrote the great hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," and he wrote that at the very spot where his wife died. His wife died, and he can write a song that says, "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, oh, it is well with my soul. My joy is not found in this planet. I don't live for the temporary. My joy is in the Lord." And of course, he was confident that he would see his wife again one day, right? There's joy in salvation. In the Gospels, read Acts chapter 8. They go into a city, preach the gospel, and all of a sudden they leave. And you know what the Bible says? And that city was filled with joy. Great joy was in the city. Dude, it's depressing where I work. Take the good news in there. Everybody else talking about COVID, you know, you talk about Christ. That's the difference. You talk about the Word, the Bible. What about the end of this life? Maybe talk about that, because things are coming to a head. We've now got a worldwide problem. We need a worldwide solution. And guess what's going to happen? You know what the Bible says? We know that solution is Jesus. But you know who it's going to be first? It'll be the Antichrist. It'll be their system that they will set up. It'll be false. It'll be against everything that Jesus Christ is. And so that's what's going to happen. And so why don't we tell that to people? And people just say, you know, and everybody really think it's like, you know, that's why I'm kind of glad that this all came out under the Trump administration, under Republicans. Because then, of course, then the Democrats took it. So whatever your political view, I'm a Bible guy, and it just should let us know something. Well, politicians ain't fixing this, are they? You can't. I love that God's got us in that spot. Why don't we look up? Why don't we look to the joy of the Lord? I mean, we do need some real solutions and some real answers. But joy's in Christ. Joy's in salvation. That's why once you get saved, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. I've got the joy. Joy in my heart. I got peace, man. I've got these things. That's why he says, hey, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. What we did is the joy of the Lord wasn't our strength. Therefore, spiritually, we were weak. We were very depressed in 2021. I say we. I'm not talking just you and me. I'm talking about the church, MCBC. Then the church as a whole. It's crazy how people have been talking and the things they've been doing. It's been so strange. By the way, your joy will never be complete and full until you invest in other people. Joy. Jesus, others, then yourself. So Jesus is where we get our joy. And then the O would stand for others. And that's why he says, your joy, by the way, Jesus never wants your joy to be half full. He always says, I want your joy to be full. I want your joy to be full. And then he tells them, and Paul would even tell the church, that. What about John? In 1 John, he tells the church, he says, I'm writing these things into you that your joy may be full. I want your joy to be full. Fill the tank up. That's what you do. Fill up. I'm hearing a lot of words today like, why would you settle for that when God wants you to have better? You ever go somewhere and they're just like, would you like grilled chicken or breaded? Are you kidding me? What kind of question is that? Put them side by side and you tell me what's better. You know, and all it is spicy. You got some love and juice in that one. And somebody says, yeah, well, that's not real good for you. I get that. I know that. Sometimes we just need to be sad and eat right. I get it. And that's why we do McDonald's. People say McDonald's is killing you. But it's delicious. That's why everybody does it, right? But God wants our joy to be full. And that's he writes to us in his word and says, I want you to be fill up on that, tank up. So, man, our four F words so far are frozen. That's what it's done. 2021 has left everybody frozen as Christians, feeble, flavorless. And guess what? Our Christian ain't no fun. You think somebody would want to be saved? My life's miserable. You know. You know, one lady told me the other day, she said, yeah, we were told that the church is a hotbed for COVID. Spend 2 hours on Sunday here. spend 50 hours around a group of people at work. You're around your family, your kids are, you know, they're germ machines. They're germ magnets. That's all they are. It's funny, you watch kids do this, well, they don't care, man. And that's what's so funny about it. And people are freaking. That's what kids do. That's how they live their lives. You know, there's a sucker on the ground. That's my first piece of bubble gum was off the sidewalk, man. It's delicious. It was a little gritty, but it worked, you know. And here we are, you know. We are jacked up. Feeble, we're flavorless. The fun has been sucked out of our Christianity. It's not even fun to go to church anymore. Well, then be home and be sad. Isolate yourself from everybody. Christianity's never been about isolation, ever. He says, go, 2022, this is where we should be. We are ministers. Guys, if you look in history, there were Christians back when the Black Plague, man, was wiping out whole counties, man, eventually whole, thousands and thousands of people. There were Christians who were like, those people over there are sick. Their parents have died. There's a bunch of orphans and kids over there, and they're dying too, and they're hurt, and they're sick. There were Christians who was like, we know where we're going when we die. I'm going to go be a missionary to those that are struggling with the Black Death, knowing it might take their life. They're like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It didn't mean they all made it. But that only Christians do that. Yeah. Usually when you find somebody that's like even adopting people, you're like, I bet they're Christians. I've always thought that was crazy. You never find a place. One thing that Muslims don't have is Allah, all the names for Allah. There's not one love. Not one called love. It's the one thing Muslims are missing. That's why you never be like, oh yeah, we got an orphanage over here. It's a Muslim orphanage. You don't hear that very much, do you? You know why? They don't have what we have. They don't have what we have. The creator of the universe has come and filled us up, man, with joy. We got it. We got the message, don't we? We know what it's like, and we will live our lives to do that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let me give you the last one, and this last one's good, man. You ready for it? I'm pushing on time. Here we go. Verse 13. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, and to Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses. So they're reading in the law, and they're like, and they had found this written in the law of Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. Booths. Verse 15. And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth into the mountain, fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. Verse 16 said, they went forth. They did it. This is a little bit weird, but it's actually not so weird if you're reading your Bible. You know, there's seven feasts in the Old Testament Israel had to keep. And did you know one of them is this feast? It's called the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you want to, take your Bibles and go back to me with me to Deuteronomy 16. You know what? There's Deuteronomy 16 to talk about this, and there's Leviticus 23. Go to Leviticus 23. It'll get us, it gives more detail. Sorry. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23 and in verse 39, it says this. Leviticus 23:39. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs, see that? The boughs, I think that's how you say it. The boughs of godly trees. Yeah, I don't know if trees have boughs, do they? A bough will break, cradle will fall. I think it's called bough. Not green, but boughs are green. First day of the boughs of, how do you say that word? Anybody? Okay, godly trees. Reading the New Testament was awesome, watching people hit genealogy and big words, because everybody got a spot, man. We were reading so much of the scripture, people got up here like, I feel ridiculous up here. Everybody felt ridiculous up here when you hit those spots. And they shall take you on the first day of the boughs, dang it, of godly trees. Branches of palm trees and the boughs of thick trees and the willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute for ever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Ye shall dwell in, what's it say? Booths. 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. Watch this. That your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths. When I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I am the Lord your God. The Feast of Tabernacles was a feast that God put together. So, and what he said is, okay, go collect from the forest, go grab all these branches. And they would build together these, you know what a booth is? It's a temporary shelter. That's what it is. It's a temporary shelter. But he says at the end here, this feast was for you and your children. And it says that you look back and say, God brought us out of the land of Egypt. So you live in a booth because that's what they did. They were always traveling. That's why before the temple was a tabernacle, right? It was portable. It was movable. So the Israelites looked backward to the land of their slavery. That's what this feast was for. And it was for to remind them of their desert dwellings in the wilderness. Therefore, it made them thankful for what they had. So just to let you know something, you know, the fourth thing here is that it sucked the fun out of them, right? It sucked the fun completely out of the joy of the Lord wasn't their strength anymore. And now he ends this chapter 8 by saying, everybody, it's the Feast of Tabernacles. Go get branches because we need to dwell in booths for a time. Really, for a week is what it says in Leviticus. And you know why? Here's your last F word. What 2021 has done to us coming out of this COVID season, we got five F words. This last one is, it left us forgetful. It left us forgetful. And Jesus took my sin away. COVID? Whatever. I'm not making it big anymore. My God's bigger. Now, another F word you could put in here, which might be a little bit more, you know, easy. It might be easy on the mind. Because it was the festival, a Feast of Tabernacles. 2021 left us no longer festive. We quit celebrating because they said, don't gather together. And I will say, and we got several people here, nurses, doctors, health department, all that type of stuff. Everybody knows this. If you got the flu and you gather with a group of people, my gosh, that's airborne. You're going to get, I get it. So I would never say, ignore that. You know, no, we've been sensible and we've been at home and we've worn masks. We've done all that type of thing. My point is spiritually, in Nehemiah chapter 8, when they had all this together and they're in the street reading the word, it's like, man, look, what they're crying and weeping because you know what? We forgot the Feast of Tabernacles. You know why? Because they're in survival mode. When you get into a spot in your life where you're just trying to survive, you can't get anywhere ahead. You're just trying to make it, man. It's like living in the spiritual Great Depression. You're just lucky, man, just to get up another day, to go to bed, to be, you're just living in the survival mode. Nothing's forward thinking. It's not the future. You're consumed with the present. And that's why once a year, God told Israel, okay, live. You need to go live in booths. What? You need to live in a temporary shelter. And this is the cry for the church. Your body is a temporary shelter. It's dying. Our soul is living in this temporary shelter. God made us his habitation. That's what Paul told the church, right? So I just want you to know, this is temporary. This is temporary. It's not going to last. And so here they are, and they're sitting back saying, man, the people are few, and the houses ain't even built around here. Yet we got our walls in the temple, and I like what he says. He goes, well, one thing keep in mind. We've missed this feast. I know your house might not be the best. Maybe it's time for you to take a week and live like the people that came out of Egypt lived. live temporarily. Live in this temporary shelter. May it remind you that this world don't last forever. And we look for the blessing of the promised land. That's what this last one is when he tells them to live in booths. And Paul tells the church, things that are seen are temporary. Things that are not seen are eternal. And guys, let's face it. 2021, the lumber yards knew what they were doing when they hiked the prices up 50%. You know why? Everybody was stuck at home. And when you're stuck at home looking at your lousy kitchen, you're like, we could probably remodel right now. And you know what they said? People were still paying the prices. It didn't matter. COVID was crazy. Hey, did you know last year, you want to hear something weird? Did you know that, did you know less people have been on the roads the last couple of years? People are working from home. Less cars are on the road. And last year, there were more accidents than 2 years before. Ain't that crazy? You'd think, that's like a paradox. That don't even really make sense. Less people on the road and more accidents. You know why? The less people on the road, people are careless. That's exactly what was going on. Exactly. And so I like this message today because I feel like God's just like, okay, church, you're going to have to be intentional. Who would have ever thought we'd be almost at this for 2 years? Nobody ever believed that. I don't believe it. But here we are. So what are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're not going to let it leave us frozen. It's time to move. The second thing he says is eat the fat. Because we've been feeble. We've been eating poorly. God has the best for us. Let's get after it. Three, drink the sweet. It's time to have a little more flavor, right? In our relationship with the Lord, God's word needs to be sweet to us. To enjoy that sweet fellowship. And therefore our life is that way. And people would glorify our God by seeing the good works in our life. I like that. I like little kids that are like trouble a little bit. What I call it is when I see a kid, I'm just like, I'll tell my wife, I'm like, man, she's spicy, ain't she? And I kind of like it. You know, yeah, she's spicy. You know, the problem is today Christians ain't spicy at all. They're bland. We're as scared as everybody else is. And we claim to know the creator of it all. The God that can heal this with one breath. We know him. We're freaked out too. Come on, man. Be a little more spicy than that. Enjoy the Lord. Don't be the salt that's lost its savor. Everywhere we go, man, let's bring a little bit of life to it, right? So it's left us flavorless. We're not going to be that way anyway. The fourth thing we read was when he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So you know what? Let's put the fun back in fundamental Christianity, man. That's what being fundamental. Most people think fundamentals are, no, man, it starts with the word fun. Enjoy this thing. We know the creator of the universe. We get to do it, man. We get to know the Bible, let him speak to us. We get to minister to people. We get to serve others. And I'll tell you what, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nothing else. The fifth thing we'll leave with is the booths. 2021 has left us where we're forgetful. You forget where you came from, right? Guys, all through, just in our country, our short history of our country, there's been a lot of suffering through time. This ain't the first pandemic that's hit the world, but it's the first for a lot of us. And so it's hard. The generations under us, this is really affecting them, their education, all that's so different. And if you keep going down that rabbit hole, eventually you'll be just like, my gosh, what's the problem here? Well, the problem is you've made it bigger than what it really is. That's the big problem here. Maybe it's time for us to say, let's recognize what is temporary. And listen to this. Let me give it the big picture to you. This life. When I did that funeral Monday, I just went right in. There's a casket up there, and everybody's just like, man, looking, crying their eyes out. And I was just like, hey, let me get everybody's attention before we start. Your day's coming. We've all been to funeral homes. Most of us are in those seats. Next week, it might be the casket for you. That's what the Bible says. I was a hero. It's a real popular message. But that's just the truth. People don't want to deal with that. They live their temporary lives in it. So as Christians, we can say, this is so temporary. Then let's get after it. Let's make it really count, right? And so that's why they had this whole point of the booths was they forgot where they came from. God has done so much in our hearts and lives, hasn't he? He has so changed our lives that it's time. It's time, church. MCBC, it's time. It's 2022. It's time for fresh vision, and let's go forward. Five things that I think 2021 has left us in, but it's the things in Nehemiah that left them very sorrowful. And he just said, don't live in that place of sorrow. Quit being frozen, you know? Quit doing that. It's like having a bully. You know what you have to do to a bully, don't you? Stand up. It don't mean to whip his tail every time, but it's going to be a little bit more unpleasant for him, especially if you're a biter and an eye poker. I'm a pincher. What are you doing? You ever, a guy wrestle me and get on top of me and he's just dominate me? A pinching goes real far. I'm pinch, man. That's what you do. Even in football, you can get up under here. Man, this guy's stronger, bigger. Well, get under there. And get after it. And then stand up. Quit being so frozen, letting it freeze us. We're fearful. We're not supposed to be a fearful people. It's left us feeble. We're not going to be feeble no more. Let's eat the fat, the best that God has for it. Eat the fat of the land. Put on the best robe, man. Quit flavorless. Come on, man. Spice your life up. May your relationship with Jesus be. Drink in the sweet, man. We got a sweet Christian life to live. We got an eternity to spend with the Lord. You know, the rest of it. Hey, can you think if you didn't know Jesus? And the Bible says without Christ, your sin will take you to the pit of hell. You'll go to hell faster than a speeding bullet. If this life is the best you have, and you're living in a COVID season, whew, would that not be depressing? I'm glad we have a future, man. Our best days are always ahead of us. And that's why we should live differently. People should say, what, you don't care? You don't believe this? Oh, no, I totally believe it. My hope is just elsewhere. Dude, I don't live here. I'm a stranger. This earth ain't my home. That's why they had to build booths. A reminder, it's not your home. I imagine the Feast of Tabernacles when they put them branches up. I imagine God's like, okay, let it rain for 3 days straight. They could have problems. It made you thankful for what you did have too, didn't it? So let's make sure at the end, the joy of the Lord, let's not be killjoys here. I mean, the key is the joy of the Lord. Joy in Christ, joy in salvation, joy in others being filled. Then the last of all is dwelling in booths. He ends this chapter saying, okay, we've forgotten where we've come from. It's time to get festive again. I always believed that Christians should party better than anybody else. The problem is when you try to get Christians together, they find something else to do that's better. Or they'll create their own fun. And I'm telling you, it should happen here. Our singing, our music, our songs, our lives, we should party better. I will say one thing a lot of Christians are known for when you go to Christian, like potluck type of things. I'm like, man, these people can cook, man. Well, let's share it with everybody then if we can cook that good. Let's bring them in and do this. So you got them five things down, five F words? Or should I repeat them for the 10th time? People are like, land the plane, dude. Land the plane. Okay, I'm landing it. Jesus, thank you for Nehemiah chapter 8. Lord, it's been really encouraging for us. I'm thankful this is the first message of the new year. And Lord, our joy is found in you. And Lord, right now things are looking a little bleak. You know, I know it's cold, a lot of snow. You know, school's supposed to fire back up, and now COVID cases seem to be going up. And God, it's hard to live a joy-filled life and not be consumed by these things. And God, I do pray. I do pray for our leaders in this country, that solutions, I know they're always finding things and vaccines and medicines to help. And Lord, I know one day we just wish it would disappear. But God, our best day is going to be when we disappear, when you take your church out of here. So help us to live temporary. Help us to live in booths. Help us to make your joy our strength. God, I pray we'd leave today and just enjoy the sweet and drink it in. I pray that we'd eat the best that you have to offer us. That we would have the fat of the land. And God, today we want you to know that we're going to go. We're not going to sit still. We're tired of being frozen. We're tired of everybody leaving us motionless. And so we're going to be after it. So God, I want to pray for all of our sick, all the afflicted people that we all personally know, and especially people in this church, that you would bring healing to their lives, that they would get better, and that we could be here together. Protect us, God. Nobody wants us. Help us to do our part in keeping everybody else safe. So, Lord, we love you today. We love this book. It's so alive, man. It's so true. Thanks for encouraging the heart of this pastor. It's in your precious holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Hey, don't forget that YouVersion, man. We are all reading the Word together. We started in Genesis, one chapter in Genesis, one of Matthew. Talk to Bo if you didn't get a blast, if you didn't get a notification. We're working on that, man. There's some really cool things getting to happen on that. Hey, and mark your calendars, because next week,